a chance to take a look at the stories of the two representations of kings of pride. These were different men that lived different lives, different kingdoms, different time periods, but they had something similar. They had a heart of pride. These earthly kings stood in front of audiences of God's creation, and they stole from him the glory that was due to him. But, as I mentioned this morning, there is a story of another king. And this king also stood in front of an audience, but instead of using this opportunity to glorify himself, he truly, in every way, gave all the glory to God, even to the point of sacrificing his own life. Tonight, we'll be looking at Jesus, the Christ, the King of Humility. Earthly kings have throughout time have just covered themselves in silver garments, in crowns of gold. They have gazed out at their kingdoms and had their citizens pay homage to them. They have had their citizens shout at them, like in Acts chapter 12, 22, like we looked at this morning, the voice of a God and not a man. And they desired this. They wanted this. They wanted this glory for themselves. They wanted to make a name for themselves. But the King of Humility, he didn't seek after these things. Instead of the silver and the gold, he was dressed in a crown of thorns upon his brow. He was covered in garments of blood. His creation, not just his citizens, but his creation reviled him. They didn't say about him, the voice of a God and not a man. They even denied his kingship, let alone his godship. But unlike all of the kings of the earth who have just been seeking their glory and to make a name for themselves, to Jesus was given a name. The name above all. The name to which every knee will one day bow. Jesus is the only king ever in the course of history that could truly be boastful. Jesus was the only king ever who could actually boast of himself as a God. He could actually take that glory upon himself. That's what makes his silence during the last chapters of the Gospels so deafening. That's what makes his complete humbleness so inspiring and admirable and glorious. You remember Jesus had false charges brought against him in Matthew chapter 26, verse 60. False charges are being brought on him. People are standing up in front of him and lying about him. How would you handle that? I don't think that I would handle that as humbly as Jesus did. I fight tooth and nail to justify myself and to justify my name. I even did that back in my grade school days. You know, people look at my test and be like, man, I can't believe you got a 60 on that. And I would look at it. And I would say, yeah, but you have to remember, right? I was sick that day, and I didn't brush my teeth the right way, and I left my lucky charm at the house. And it was also a rainy day. You know, we will fight to justify ourselves and to justify our name. And Jesus is standing there, perfection, without a blemish, with people slandering him, lying about him, and he remains silent. In John chapter 18 and verse 21, when Jesus is before Annas, the high priest, he asks him a question, and that question is deemed as disrespectful. And so somebody who's standing next to him slaps Jesus. He slaps him right across the face, and Jesus still continues to keep his humble demeanor. And they asked him whenever they slapped him, is this the way you answer the high priest? Me personally, I can be wrathful against a toy that I accidentally step on in the middle of the night. And yet, Jesus is slapped in the face. And he responds to him, but not in the response that I would have. It's amazing. Jesus, when he was slapped, could have answered with a retort, is that the way that you answer the Son of God? But he didn't. It's mind-blowing. I thought about, when I was reading this story, Mount Sinai. When God was coming down upon Mount Sinai, you remember, he gives a warning to the people. Beware, and this is in Exodus 19 and verse 12. Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. If a finger touched the Lord's holy mountain while he was upon it, the punishment was death. There's going to be no argue about it. That person was going to die. Think about the repercussions of slapping all five fingers across the face of Jesus, the Son of God. And yet, he remained humble. Jesus stood silent as his creation chose a criminal to go free instead of him. He was silent as guards stood before him on the cross and cast lots for his clothes. He stood silent while abuse was hurled at him. Jesus was the epitome of humility. And we know that he was truly that way, completely all the way down to his heart, because when rubber met the road and he was put through the darkest of circumstances, he kept that humility. I love Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, which talks about the humility of Jesus. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This verse paints the ultimate picture of Jesus, and that is humility. But notice what this whole section of passage begins with. Have this attitude in yourselves. We not only have to eliminate our prideful hearts, but we are commanded to replace them. It's not good enough that we just not have hearts of pride like the kings of pride. We are asked to have hearts like the king of humility. That's a pretty tall order. I mean, look at what we just looked at. How are we supposed to do the impossible? How do we have a humility like Christ? Well, let's take a look at what made Jesus humble. A way that I typically think of humbling oneself is to make yourself lower. And Jesus was the perfect example of that. Going back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. That's the lowering that we're talking about. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus, now, it's kind of different for us because Jesus physically lowered himself. He gave up his glory to put on flesh. He was up on this level. He was up at an imaginable level, and he brought himself down for us. And that's crazy to think about. Again, I think about Mount Sinai, right? If people are not even worthy enough to come close to the mountain of God without dying, and yet And yet they walked among, Jesus lowered himself to the point where he was able to walk amongst them. How crazy is that to think about? How unworthy were people to actually approach Jesus? And yet he allowed himself to be approached. He allowed himself to be around people. And not only did he humble himself just by walking around humanity, but he humbled himself by walking amongst and interacting amongst the people that were not being interacted by anybody else. That the people that the Pharisees thought lower of themselves. He walked amongst the sinners and the tax collectors in order to save them. So to humble our hearts like Jesus, we have to lower ourselves. We have to lower our position. And like I said, it's different from Jesus because Jesus was actually higher than everybody. And he had to physically lower himself. We just have to lower our perceived notion of ourselves because in reality, we're all on the same plane. Right? We're all sinners. In Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, not even one. We are all on the same level, but we have this perceived highness of ourselves. Even knowing that there is none righteous, not even one, there are times, for whatever reason, that we are around people, and it may be the lives that they've lived in the past, it probably is the lives that they're living now, but when we're around these people and we look at these people, we see ourselves like this. We have to find a way to bring ourselves back down to here. Yeah. Just because we are children of God, it doesn't give us the right to act like this, right? Because to tell you a secret, we're all children of God. It's just that some of us have accepted that inheritance, and some people have just not accepted it or have denied it. But no matter the fact, should they choose to accept it, they inherit a title of child just like us. They're still on the same plane. They just haven't accepted their inheritance. And we need to help them to do that. We need to, and there's no way that we can help people if we're right here. There's no way. We have to be right here. We have to lower ourselves like Jesus did for us in order to save us. Jesus stripped himself of all glory for everybody around us. Shouldn't we be willing to do the same for everybody around us? Secondly, Jesus humbled himself by serving others. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus said this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now Jesus talked the talk. He talked the talk. He talked about how important it was to be a servant of people. But more importantly, he walked the walk. Jesus was constantly giving up time and comfort and rest in order to serve those that were around him. He served them in healing their mortal bodies. He served them in giving them teachings and spending time with them to heal their souls. He had just people constantly streaming to him from everywhere, and he just continued to gird himself as a servant and see to their needs. And usually, as what we see as Jesus' greatest teaching on servanthood is, again, just an example of him actually doing it and walking the walk. In John chapter 13, the Lord girds himself with a towel and washes the feet of his disciples. But he didn't just do this to do it. He did this as an example for his disciples to do it as well. He says in verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." We really, really, really need to humble ourselves by washing some feet. And I know that some of us, that's kind of a horrifying prospect. There are some that really don't like feet. But that's what we have to do. We have to wash some feet. And I would, however, suggest it avoiding me. It's for your own good, to be sure. But we need to go out of our way to serve other people. Every day we need to gird ourselves to wash some feet. We need to go out of our way to do things for each other, not just each other in this building, but to do things for everyone, to be a servant to everyone. We need to be ready to do the things, like washing feet, that it really pains us to do. We need to be every day girding ourselves to do the things for people that we really see as beneath us. We really need to wash some feet. Finally, Christ humbled himself by being willing to sacrifice. And this is really the backbone for all of the points that have just been made, is Christ's willingness to sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his glory, emptying himself of glory. He sacrificed being with the Father for a time. He sacrificed his comfort. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes and the birds have hair of the air, have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And above all else, he sacrificed his life. Not just on a cross, but everything before that. All of this, the worldly life. He didn't want any of that either. He gave up everything to be a perfect and humble servant of God. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If we are going to have a humble heart, like our Christ, then we have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice all of that glory that our prideful hearts want to keep for ourselves. We have to sacrifice our comfort, to do things like washing feet, to serve people, all the things that make us uncomfortable. And we have to sacrifice what we see as our lives. Because really, they're for God. They're for his glory. They're for giving him glory. And continually, we need to be comparing ourselves to Jesus. To be looking at the measuring stick of Christ, the King of humility, and continue to look at him. Because that is honestly the most humbling thing in this world, or at least it should be. To look at Jesus and compare yourself to him. Typically, I don't like comparisons because you either end up feeling really good about yourself or really bad about yourself. But Jesus is different because when you compare yourself to him, you feel really, 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 really bad about yourself. You can feel terrible about yourself. But it's not a terribleness as in we should just give up. We can't attain that. We should just give up. No. We just keep trying. We'll never achieve the humility of Christ in this life. But if we make that our goal, if we make that our number one goal in life is to give glory to God and to be a humble and faithful servant to him, then I guarantee you it probably won't be achieved in this life. But in the next, wow, can you imagine the reward? Look at Jesus' reward for a humble heart in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." In these two stories, or in the stories from this morning, we have seen these the two kings of pride that fell so hard. But in the story of Jesus, we see the story of a humble heart that will be exalted, a name because of that humble heart that will be exalted forever. We need to be servants, humble, humble, humble servants like Christ. I invite us all to do that this evening. If you need anything, if you need to be baptized, we ask you to come forward.